flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
The WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tomorrow, a huge show as we're going to spend the entire time previewing the Pro Bowl games. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But tomorrow, we are sending Commissioner Buzz out on the streets of Philadelphia.
In the rain.
With a giant card. A thank you card that we want you to sign for Joe Shane for not signing Saquon Barkley. Changed the course of Philadelphia Eagles history forever. And we would like to thank Joe Shane. So we're getting that. I saw the card. It's pretty cool.
Love it.
Pretty cool card. It's got Saquon doing the backwards, the hurdle on the front.
I mean, that might be outside of winning the Super Bowl. That might be the photo of the season.
Oh, might be.
Yeah.
It is the photo.
Backwards hurdle, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a play that we're never going to forget here.
No.
I agree. Here's the funny thing, and thankfully it's here in our uniform with our player, but that's going to be a play that no one ever forgets.
Yeah, like, it's going to be in Madden forever.
Exactly. No one has ever seen a running back do that.
Trying to think, like, the Dr. J up and under is iconic.
Yep. The Michael Jordan switch hands.
Sure. Yep. I was trying to think, like, Philly, iconic
photos.
You know, like.
Well, step over.
Step
over, yep.
I guess Foles, like, physically catching the football in the Philly special.
Yep.
Yes. I'm trying to think, is there anything else in game play?
But like, the Barkley one feels like it has staying potential.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be talking about that one for a long time.
Well, because it's Eagles, too. And especially if we win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Win.
And it makes it even better.
We got to win.
Makes it even better that Tiki was on the call for that game, too.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know Tiki was being tongue-in-cheek when he said dead to us. But it was just funny that.
Oh, it all adds to it. Yes. I agree.
Yeah. Tiki also said that he doesn't want to hear any Giants jokes about Saquon during the Super Bowl. Yeah. Said that on the air.
Good luck with that. I'm sure that won't happen. Yeah.
Sorry, Tiki. All right. Let's get to it, Jack.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
So anyone that knows me knows I have a lot of problems with the morning show.
You do.
And
you hate them. The
official statement of this show is anyone but the morning show.
Anyone but the morning show.
per usual. So I had five things they have to stop doing, including a new number one that happened again today. Number five is Beat the Hammer is a sham. It's been a sham for a while. It used to be a all-time bit, but it's gotten so watered down with these callers who have no idea what they're doing. You gotta spice up beat the hammer, let other WIP hosts compete, and see how he does against actual competition. It's okay. Listen, it doesn't have to be every week. I'm not saying every week, but maybe in the summer.
I would say once a month.
Beat the hammer all-stars, or beat the hammer...
Something. Yeah. Like, we get it. You're going for whatever fake... You're trying to be a 300-game winner, you know, with the beat the hammer. I did give them the idea that when he's, like, five away from being a 300-game winner, they should bring on 300-game winners as an MLB. Like, how does it feel to go for the 300th? Like, bring Glavin on.
Yeah. I understand in the beginning you want to establish that Hammer is the guy, right? So you let him beat up on listeners and so on and so forth. I even understand James picking categories that he knows Joe is going to be good at. I get it. But I agree with you. If Beat the Hammer is going to be a real thing, you can't be a paper champion. You know, you can't avoid...
Paper champions, Tommy Gunn?
Yeah, a little bit. So,
like the strength of schedule on Beat the Hammer is worse than the league.
I think we need to make this a movement. You know, stop dodging.
But he's scared. He's scared of going up against other WIP hosts.
I've offered to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jack, would you go up against the Hammer?
Sure. I don't care if I lose.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't care if I lose either. Yeah.
Right.
I just want to go do it to beat him.
Yeah, but he always ducks.
You know what we should be able to do? This is the idea. We should be able to find our competitor for the W to represent us.
Well, we tried that
against
once.
The Hammer.
It can't be Chuck.
Chuck.
I would never pick Chuck.
0-10 in a career.
Yeah, he hasn't even got one question right.
Not even close.
He hasn't gotten one question right.
0-10, Spike. it's
that's
awesome.
Two different times. In case you don't know.
Yeah. I want to like really go into, and I'm not going to cheat or whatever, but I think we should be able to vet our representative to go, and that's what should happen once a month.
Now are we going to Trojan horse it, or are we going to set this whole thing up?
Oh, we're going to we use Trojan horse correctly there.
Thank you. You thought about it too.
No, I don't want to hide it. I want it to be above board.
He didn't use it correctly.
Yes, I did.
He did. He's saying, do you want to do it secret?
Sneak attack.
Yeah. Which is basically right.
I thought you meant, do you want to go barge in?
No.
Oh, no.
Different kind of Trojan.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was unnecessary.
Yeah. All right. What's number four?
Yes.
Yeah. Get out of that. It didn't even really work.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
Yeah, just keep it moving.
It didn't. The fourth thing the morning
show. Get it sex.
The fourth thing. Well, hold on. Someone did boobs earlier.
Well, I did. That was Yoshi.
I know. Fourth thing the morning show has to stop doing is you got to watch the guests. In one segment yesterday, this is all the voices during this segment. Joe, John, Seltzer, Rhea, Devin, Ruben Amaro Jr., Mike Quick, and Ross Tucker. I mean, what are we doing? That's in one segment.
There's not even enough microphones in here. Well, Ross isn't here, right?
He's on Comrex.
Yeah, and Mike.
You know, how much words is he saying per minute when there's that many people there?
I don't know. You said that to me, and I thought to myself, are we doing a radio show wrong? Because it's mostly just us. And then we have one guest at a time.
Sure.
Yeah. How could you have that many people talking at once?
Like, sometimes I'll just be listening. I'm like, oh, God, Rube's there. You know, I'll be listening for like 40 minutes.
That's how I used to feel about Ben Davis. I was like, where the hell is Ben at?
I looked in a live stream once, because they're live streaming Kelsey. Yeah. Ben was looking up tractor videos. Not to out Ben, but he was looking
well,
up.
Just did.
He was looking up tractor videos during the thing. You know, he's checked out because there's only one ball, and it's mostly hogged by Joe DeCamera.
Hollis used to look up a different kind of tractor video.
He sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Stay on track.
Okay. All right.
The third thing the morning show has to stop doing is they have to stop movie shaming.
Movie shaming?
Yeah, like they, you know, if you haven't seen this movie in like this random 70s, 80s movie, they act like the world's ending. You know what I mean? Like the generation, the listeners are getting a little younger.
They're big movie people.
Yeah, but it's the same movies. Oh. It's like, oh, you haven't seen this? Casablanca. You know?
Yeah.
It's not Casablanca.
It's always Casablanca.
Yeah, nobody's seen that.
A Wonderful Life. I don't know.
It's A Wonderful Life.
Like, all these old... just update the resume.
Well, and has DeCamera seen a movie that's come out in the last 15 years?
He is a big 80s, 90s movie guy.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Seltzer does have his infamous Oscars list.
Yeah.
That he likes to tweet out every year.
Now, in fairness, Seltzer and I we do have a consistent horror movie exchange where I'll tell him if he's seen something, because I don't have very many people in my life that will watch horror as much as Seltzer does. But yeah, I agree with you on the movie shaming thing.
They're so defensive.
It's like, I didn't see Godfather. I'm sorry.
Sue me.
Mob stuff is too fake. I don't care.
Right.
You know, move on.
One of your favorite things.
No, that is an issue.
I also haven't seen it, so.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You, I expect.
Sure.
You.
Disappointed.
I saw Godfather already.
Goodfellas
is great. Okay. I love Goodfellas. Right. The second thing the morning show has to stop doing is they have to get DeCamera off the drop board. DeCamera has access to a drop board in there.
Right here.
Yeah.
And really?
Sometimes he sets up the drops.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know
you
they say.
You can hear him doing it.
Yeah. You know what they say? The hammer. But it's like a little delayed. Gotta get him. There's a problem when the host has access to the drop board, is my personal opinion.
Wow. Well,
how's he supposed to operate the drop board when he's got to manage the 18 guests that are on at the same time?
That's why he's so stressed all the time.
It's just too much.
That's why he's always sweating in there.
Yeah. I don't think I could even, my brain could even, like, think about the drop board when I'm doing it.
But that's the issue.
Yeah.
That's why it's always delayed. And it's never set up right.
Mark said drop board, right?
Yeah.
And that was a point of contention with you guys.
Well, no, with him.
Yeah.
I don't care about the drop board. That's Jack's drop board.
Well, it's also hard when two people are doing the drop board.
Yeah, that is an issue.
I think it should be a producer thing, but that's me.
Yes.
Also, I'm different, you know?
Yeah, you're very good at the drop board.
My one thing I'm actually all right at.
Yeah.
But the number one thing is that...
You haven't added a ton lately.
Yeah, well, hold on. So I have this one, which is recent.
That'd be Baby Ruth Taylor.
That's a good one. Yeah, I give you.
They're mostly just, like, I got to find a way to put the Beat It one in there somewhere. I'll get that on the drop board. Don't you worry, Ike. But listen, I know. Like, but I also got my set ones.
Yes.
That are ingrained in people's heads. Anyway, but the number one thing the morning show has to stop doing is they have to stop making former and very tough people cry. You know, we all remember.
Who cried?
Well, we all remember.
This is really...
They made Richie cry.
Yep.
They made Brandon Graham cry.
Yep.
You know, and
that's right. I forgot about the BG one.
Yeah, yep. I mean, DeCamera's basically begging for him. Like, how, you know, this could be it for you.
Yeah.
And of course he's going to cry.
Yep.
You know, like, let's grow up a little bit.
It's like going on Roy Firestone.
Yes. Or didn't Barbara Walters make everybody cry? Yep. Wasn't that her bit? Yeah.
But yet again today, Jason Kelsey's in.
He cried again?
And the waterworks started. This morning show's out of control.
Yeah. You can't help but think back and you think about how am I here? How am I fortunate enough and lucky enough to be here?
Yeah.
And then you think about your teammates and everybody else, and it's a very overwhelming experience, you know, being on the biggest stage of your profession. And I imagine anybody feels that way, right? Like, no matter what you do, if you get to that point where you have the opportunity to be known as, like, the best in the entire world at whatever you do, it's a feeling that is you know, I don't know. I mean, if you put a lot into it, it's going to mean a lot to you. We've dedicated a lot of hours and time and commitment and travel, and, you know, you've foregone a lot of other things in your life.
Whoa.
We hear you, man. Take a moment, Jason. John,
oh
you've
God.
Been through this. I mean, you know what it's
you've
like.
You've cried, too.
They're out of control. It's the biggest problem with the morning show.
Wow.
These are legends, tough guys in this town. Don't let Ike on that show, or else he'll be crying. I mean,
I guarantee I won't be.
Wow.
He clearly took himself up to a place
where... He didn't even realize where he was.
Yeah, he got to talking about it, and then he started reminiscing even more.
Yeah.
You can almost visualize the images in his brain as he's talking. Like, he's visualizing these images, and he missed the game. He misses the game a little bit. Sounds like he missed the game a little bit.
Yeah.
A bit.
Now, I'm surprised Richie didn't cry because Kelsey was crying.
Because the last time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would have been just an awful, just sort of everybody's weeping and snorting.
Yeah. And that was an okay cry.
It was. Richie's
is not okay. It's not okay.
DeCamera's was not okay.
And it certainly isn't okay for the reason Richie was crying.
Right, because Jason Kelsey retired.
Jason didn't die. Nope. You know, he's still here.
Nope. in good physical health.
Yes, good health.
Doing great.
I see him every 5 minutes on TV.
Making four times as much money as he did when he was on the Eagles. Everything's
okay.
Everything's fine. The DeCamera cry is, do you have that available? The DeCamera cry is one of the
whimpering.
Saddest ones.
Yeah.
Man.
Do you have it?
Ah, oh, they changed all their drops around. Oh, there it is.
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888, I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
No.
The quiver in his voice. After missing the whole Super Bowl run on the air.
Yeah, that's the other part.
Yeah, you weren't even here.
Him missing the entire run would have been...
unreal.
Because he's, you know, Captain Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see me toughing it out. My back hurts.
Yep.
Scratchy throat. I'm here. This hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big winter sale. Get 40% off all windows and doors through January. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. 215-592-9494. Bill in Washington Township. You're on WIP. What's up, Bill?
All right, Spike, this one's for you.
Oh, boy.
I'm tired of the buffoonery that is you not giving Jalen Hurts the credit he deserves for getting us here again.
By himself. Position. By himself.
There you go.
Oh, my God. So what should the credit
little
be?
Piece of history. Little piece of history for you. Let me give you this first. Let me flip this up.
Okay.
All right, so out of the 22 quarterbacks who have been to the Super Bowl two or more times, only one of them will not make the Hall of Fame who has also won one. So my point here is if Jalen Hurts...
Which is who?
I'm going to tell you in a second.
Okay.
My point here is if Jalen Hurts wins a Super Bowl, he will plunge himself into elite status.
Okay.
That person is Jim Plunkett.
All right.
Who's a 500 quarterback and was a journeyman throughout his career.
Okay.
So if Jalen wins, he will by history, plunge himself into elite status, and most likely go into the Hall of Fame.
No. He's not most likely in the Hall of Fame yet, even if he wins
the
Super Bowl.
He would be.
No. Is on most NBA Finals MVPs are in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't mean Andre Iguodala is going to the Hall of Fame. So here's the question, Bill. What exact credit am I supposed to give him? Because I think we all agree that Saquon has been the most important player on their offense and has leveled them up. We would also agree that probably the second most important thing on their offense is their offensive line. And I think you could say that if we talk about the offensive line, the primary wide receiver and the running back, of those within their respective position groups in the league, Jalen ranks the furthest back, right? AJ's definitely a top three wide receiver. Saquon's the best running back in the league. The offensive line is one of the best two running bits in the league. So what credit exactly? I've said he's unflappable. He's not affected by pressure. He works hard. He clearly win games. What, like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to say about him in respect to this year that I haven't said.
That he's more elite because he plays the most important position for a team that's going to the Super Bowl, the most important position on the field because he touches the ball every play and doesn't turn it over.
Well, but I don't think that makes him, like, we could go through this. We have a different idea of what elite means. And here is why I don't think he is because their success began this year when they minimized his role. And you would never say that they literally told him to do less. They wanted him to throw less. And they told him your only job is to just not throw it to the other team. So I don't think that while he obviously wins the Super Bowl here, top 10 quarterback in the league for sure, absolutely, I don't think that means that you put him in the top group simply because the team won because of how it happened this year. And I think that's a fair thing to say. I understand what you're saying, but I think what I'm saying is a fair thing to say.
But I would also say that if he makes the Hall of Fame, then how do you argue he wasn't elite at some point in his career?
We'll talk in 15 years.
Is Eli Manning elite?
I mean, he's going to make the Hall of Fame. And
yes, do you think he's elite?
Yeah.
Okay, even though most years he didn't win.
I mean, he took down Tom Brady twice, so he had elite moments. At some point in his career,
different.
He was elite.
So Joe Flacco had elite moments. Is he an elite quarterback?
Like I said, at some point in his career, he was elite.
I don't think so, and that's where we differ, and that's fine though. I'm not like.
All right, Bill.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Let me give you my duo, Merrill and Mike.
Oh, that's
there you go.
That's a great duo. Absolutely a great duo.
It's a great deal. Here's why I say it would differ with Jalen. he's won more consistently than those other guys.
I agree. Yep.
Like, that matters. Mm-hmm. Like, that matters that playoffs 4 straight years, 2 Super Bowls, win a Super Bowl. Like, if you're on a good team every year, and if he's not an elite quarterback, then I don't know what an elite quarterback looks like then.
Yeah, here's the thing. Right? I understand the argument. Mm-hmm. I am not dismissing the argument. I do not agree. But I understand the argument.
It also seems like you're not open to him being there.
What I would need to see...
Because he's not there now.
Right.
But winning a Super Bowl and still saying he's not elite means you're not really allowing for him to be elite.
No, you're
not allowing for the possibility of him being elite. You're giving more benefit of the doubt to these other guys than giving him credit.
I think I would need to see what next year looks like. Because if next year looks like this year and he's throwing it 17 times a game, then...
And they win 15 games and he's back in the playoffs.
I don't think it...
Troy Aikman was elite.
But you would argue he's not.
I said he's the greatest game manager ever. I can't say he wasn't elite during the time. It's all about who you're putting him in the category with. And we're talking about right now amongst his peers, not amongst Hall of Fame greats. I'm not putting Jalen with John Elway and Tom Brady. I'm saying amongst his peers right now, 4 years as a starter, right? Because we don't include 2020. Nobody includes Patrick Mahomes' rookie year.
Right, I agree.
So we don't include Jalen's rookie year, where he didn't start to the end of the year. But since he's been a full-time starter, you put his numbers up against other quarterbacks, and they only are in the elite category. Like, his numbers are with Patrick Mahomes from a winning standpoint.
A winning standpoint, yeah.
Of course, from a winning standpoint. That's what you ultimately want. Like, if you're going to put those other guys in there, then him winning year after year and going to 2 Super Bowls and winning a Super Bowl, you have to have him in the elite category. I don't care what it looks like.
I see what will drive you crazy, but I'm telling you, I actually believe it. I believe that it would more mean that you can have an elite team without an elite quarterback. That's what I would say.
Even a guy who's been first team All Pro, he's a two time Pro Bowler, and he was a runner up MVP. So he's not like some of these other guys. He actually has medals on his ledger.
Yes, but I think he's gotten less good as his career has gone on.
This is the 1 year.
What's that?
This is the 1 year. I don't think he was bad in 2023.
Well, he led the league in turnovers, didn't he?
So did Josh Allen.
Well, right, but I
you see what I'm saying? Like, it don't, like, Josh Allen still gets to be in the elite category.
I think the Buffalo offense revolves around Josh Allen. I don't think you can do that with Jalen.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Everything doesn't have to be cookie cutter is my point.
I agree.
That's why. But you're not allowing for him to be in this category because he doesn't do it the way they do it. They don't win like he does.
I agree. I understand the argument, but elite is a... It's an undefined term that we can define however we want. And to me, I think those quarterbacks are at a different level as far as their performance than he is. Now, he could win the Super Bowl, come out next year, and be a better quarterback next year than he was this year, mm-hmm. and I would be open to that conversation. I'm open to the conversation. I just
feel like you got the bar set so high for him.
Well, that, the elite,
like going
that's
to
what
two
elite.
Super Bowls and winning one and like being an All Pro and all these other things, he still is not in the elite category.
I don't put Matt Stafford as elite, and he's won a Super Bowl and he's a top ten yards all time, and he was a
but
great.
But he was
quarterback.
In that category when he won the Super Bowl. You put him in that category after he won that Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
People started mentioning Matt Stafford as an elite guy once he won that Super Bowl.
But I'm not putting him in there. Now, and I don't think he has been an elite quarterback in his career. I think he's been a very good quarterback.
Well, okay, so can we agree that just because you're – Patrick Mahomes is the only guy who seems to play at an elite level every year. So I don't think just because you play at an elite level 1 year, you get to be in there for the rest of your career.
I agree, but
like Wentz played at an elite level.
But Burrow has played at an elite level every year of his career.
I had them in the elite category. Okay. Remember, I'm trying to get you to put Jalen with those guys.
But I don't think he plays at an elite level. I don't think he played at an elite level this year.
Super Bowl is the point I'm making.
Yes, but this season, I don't think he played at an elite level.
Does how he played in the Super Bowl matter?
Of course it does.
Okay. Yeah. But
that's what I'm saying. Leaving yourself open to the idea. That's the point that I'm making, that if he wins the Super Bowl, why wouldn't he be in that category? Like, what? Why? What's the point of trying to keep him out of it?
Knock yourself out.
I'm trying to figure out why you two wouldn't have him there.
I don't look at him as an elite quarterback. You can throw all the resume, all the stats,
No.
He doesn't pass my eye test.
No,
I'm sorry.
Exactly. So it becomes a personal thing. Yes. Not personal in you disliking. That's not what I'm saying. Relax, everybody. Don't get sensitive. The point I'm making is that your personal preference keeps him out of there.
But elite.
Your personal preference, because it's not what you want to see or you like, you're deciding to not have him in that category. There are a lot of people that will say, you know what? I can't overlook his winning. I can't overlook the fact he's done it every year and he has a Super Bowl ring on his finger. Why can't he be in that category? And it's his second Super Bowl appearance.
Would you put Troy Aikman in the elite category?
In the 90s, yes. He was in the elite. How could he not be in the elite category?
Because you repeatedly say he wasn't that good.
No, that's not what I say. I say he wasn't the driving force. And here's the other thing. If you want me to stack him up against the Mannings, the Bradys, and all those guys, then he goes down the list. But in the 90s, Troy Aikman was the quarterback in the 90s.
Well, and here's my thing. In the two Super Bowls, I get. But Brock Purdy never passed my eye test either. And I don't think if he won last year, I don't think he's put in the elite category, even though back-to-back years of having high passer ratings and good numbers.
And I think that's crazy.
Well, he was the number one.
I would have put Brock Purdy in the – if he won a Super Bowl this year, you wouldn't put him in the elite category?
I would not. No, I'm pretty consistent.
I've been going to two Super Bowls.
Don't care. I don't care. I know what Brock Purdy
– I can't do anything.
I know
this.
You can. I'm sorry. I'm disappointing a lot of people in the Delaware Valley right now. But I think Brock Purdy stinks, and he almost won a Super Bowl last year.
I can't wait till we – listen.
He was also the number one ranked passer in the league last year.
Well aware. Doesn't pass my eye.
He wins the Super Bowl MVP. Y'all going to eat these words.
It's going to be a long summer.
Yeah.
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 And we can have the conversation if he wins Super Bowl MVP.
The conversation?
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Last thing. Okay. They win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He is 12 of 18.
No, he wins the MVP.
No. You have yours. That's your scenario.
But if he wins the MVP.
No, but I'm asking, I'm saying if he doesn't.
Okay.
So let's say they win the Super Bowl. Saquon's the MVP. Jalen goes 12 for 18 for 132 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Is he elite then?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
He wins the Super Bowl. He's in the elite category to me.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to two. I got him in the top eight, top seven right now.
That's fine. Yeah. But I don't think there's eight elite quarterbacks. I just think there's four.
That's fine. I didn't say eight elite quarterbacks. I didn't say he's elite yet. Again, okay. I'm prefacing everything on him winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That changes everything. The guy's going to be a damn near Hall of Famer if he wins the Super Bowl.
I can promise you this.
Yes.
If he does, we will have this conversation for 6 months.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can promise you that. If you enjoyed what you heard after the Eagles win the Super Bowl,
get used to it.
Get used to this conversation. I'll break before Jack will, I can tell you that.
And we'll see if he's in my top 11.
Yeah. So coming up now, Philly top 11, that's our second annual coming up this summer.
Yeah. Yep.
So coming up next, Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, has proposed a serious change to how NBA games are played. We'll talk about that next.
Also, BG talked.
Oh, BG did talk.
Yes.
Okay.
So
and we'll hear from BG, who they opened up, if you haven't heard, they opened up the practice window for Brandon Graham today, and they will see if he is in the sort of shape they feel like is good enough to play in the Super Bowl. So all that's next.
I cried out, heaven save me, but I'm down to one last breath. And will it let me say, let me say, hold me now, I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking, maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. Hold me now, I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking, maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. I'm so far down.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. By the way, if it is your first time listening this week, we do that every day at 5:30. And we argue about Jalen Hurts, even when we don't want to. good news about One Last Breath. Jack sent me this. There are streaming charts, you know, and the Hard Rock streaming chart is normally new songs at the top. And for 4 consecutive weeks, Creed's One Last Breath has been number 1 on the Hard Rock streaming chart, even though the song is nearly 20 years old.
How about that?
We were definitely at the forefront of that. I'm not saying we caused it, but we were
a little credit.
We were early.
Now, do we get credit for Pennsylvania having played more Creed on Touchstones? Touch tunes than Taylor Swift?
I think we get some credit for that.
That's at least PA.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Creed is coming back this summer to the, what do they call it in Camden now?
The Tweeter Center.
No, they don't call it that.
Almost made me call it.
Blockbuster Pavilion? Yes.
No, it's not Blockbuster.
Sony E Center? Not that anymore.
I don't know what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Well, the place over in Canada, the outdoor concert venue.
Formerly the Tweeter Center.
Yeah. It's had a lot of names. Freedom Mortgage Pavilion? Is that
something? There
right?
it is. That's what it is. Right. That's what it is. The tickets at Ticketmaster.com. The final check-in on the Twitter question, which is brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming. If you're thinking about getting engaged, shop the home team at Marks, your engagement destination, online at marks-jewelers.com. Next Sunday against the Chiefs, do you want the Eagles to be conservative like they have from the majority of the season, or do they have to take some risks? Play like you have, 60.1%. Take some risks, 39.9%, so 60-40. Pretty almost evenly split. Brandon Graham's practice window opened today, and in the NFL, that means when a guy's been on injured reserve, they can open up a time where he can practice with the team, and they can see if he's ready to activate him. We would all, if he's ready, love to see BG play in the Super Bowl. I think it would give him a way to close his career in a really sort of romantic way, I think. So he practiced today, and here's what he said in the locker room afterwards.
It don't let you lock out. It don't let you, you know, get that. You get the extension, but it's not. It don't let you, you know, get it from like a bending. You know, I'm pretty much like halfway and then shooting out. But man, I don't feel restricted at all. it's a good look. It's a good balance. And man, whatever I got to do to get ready for this one game, feel like I can do it.
You said you felt good out there from a cardio perspective in terms of in football shape. So is it something where if you are able to play, you're like full go, or do you think it'll probably be a snap count?
If I'm gonna go out there, it's gonna be full go. You know, I'm not gonna try to get in the way of like these guys work their butt off. You know, for this moment, and you know we all whenever coach put me in, I'm gonna just make sure it's hey, all the way. And man, I mean, leave it all on the field, and that's what I'm gonna do. Any rep I get out there, hopefully I can help change the game a little bit.
Well, there's a fine line in between being rested and ready to go and then not being in football shape. And I would imagine BG's a hard worker. BG did all he could. And Elliot and I asked him on the Brandon Graham show if he's able to keep up with cardio even with the triceps injury, and he said he was. But there's a big difference between getting on the bike, running, whatever he's doing, and playing football.
Yeah, you know? No doubt about it. I mean, he has to go out there, be able to go through his techniques as a DN, swimming, ripping, pulling. Like, he has to be able to do all that stuff and not feel restricted. And not only that, you know, can make sure he's able to take a hit from these offensive tackles and offensive guards. But we're really talking about probably 10 plays, 10 to 15 plays.
Yeah, well, all Bryce Huff played, Bryce Huff played, I think, 18 snaps, but they're all garbage time.
Yeah.
And he played one snap, I think, in the Rams game and the Green Bay game.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. If we got to choose between Bryce Huff and BG,
please.
What are we doing? BG.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are we doing? Bryce Huff has barely even flashed all year.
I'll take BG. I guarantee you BG makes his presence felt out there.
Yes.
On Super Bowl Sunday.
Can you imagine he makes a big play, gets another strip sack?
Yep, or some sort of recover fumble or something. Yeah, I could see it, man. That's one thing about BG, man. He is he has found his way. Some players are just touched by the hand, right? And what I mean by that is, you know, they usually are, good fortune happens with them.
Yes.
And I believe BG, he exudes that type of karma, and he gets it back, right? Mm-hmm. So he gives that to people, and I think he gets it back. And so if he's worked his way back to where they open up the practice window and he's going to have a chance to get on that field, you give him a handful of plays to 10, BG makes something happen.
And
he will make something happen.
The important thing to remember is this was going to be a farewell tour year for Brandon, mm-hmm. but because Bryce Huff, two reasons. One, because Bryce Huff didn't play that well. But two, because Brandon was actually playing really well. This was not a year where we didn't see Brandon. Brandon made big plays over and over and over again this year.
And let me just say this. BG playing as much as he had to play could have also led to the injury.
Oh, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
If Bryce Huff is out there doing what he's supposed to do, then BG maybe doesn't have to take on as much of a load, pause, and he's there for the entire season.
Yes.
But he had to play like a regular starter those first, what did he get hurt, like the ninth game, tenth game?
Like I heard the Rams game.
That's what I'm saying. What was that, week 10?
Late November.
Yeah
they were, late. Because the Rams were 5-6 after that game.
November 24th.
So. Yeah, so who's to say those reps didn't start to add up?
Right. Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he had to play so much out there. That's what happens when we're like, okay, when the older, he's 36. 36-year-old has to be out there that many snaps. This is what could happen. So, I ain't blaming Bryce Huff, but I'm just saying.
We'll find another way to blame.
Yeah, we're not saying they owe it to him, but we're saying they owe it to him.
You know what I mean? He should be out there. He should be out there on Super Bowl Sunday. That's what I'm saying.
Well, and it just stunk because I think that was the last play. And because they were blowing out the Rams and he got caught, basically. So I'm happy for him at least.
Yep.
And hopefully he can get out there for Super Bowl Sunday.
And I didn't think this was possible, by the way. When he first got that injury.
Here's a wrinkle.
What?
Do we have to give Elliott credit for this with the Eagles Insider of the Year?
Yeah. Well, he said as soon as he got hurt, he said, I think if they get to the Super Bowl, Brandon plays in the Super Bowl. And I said, impossible.
Right.
They said 4-month injury, blah, blah, blah. And he looked at me like, all right, you think what you think. And then it became more and more obvious that was the time they were going to need to get him back on the field potentially.
Man.
I hope he plays.
I hope he does too.
Yeah, I love Brandon, and I hope he plays. Yep. It's great to see how much Philly loves him too. You see that on Mondays. People are always so excited.
Man. BG's the best, man.
One more for BG.
More games in this uniform than anybody in the history of the franchise. That is saying a lot.
Yep, and made the one of the two enormous plays in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
There were a lot of big plays, but the two most memorable is Philly Special and the strip sack.
Yes, sir.
So there's been a lot of talk in the NBA. You know, you look at an NBA game beforehand, and you look at the injury report, and there's always like 10 guys combined on it. So there's been a lot of conversation. And, you know, I've been convinced a little bit, because my thing has always been, well, how did guys 25 years ago, when the facilities were worse, when health was worse, when all these, how did they play? And the guys that now are asked to do so much more defensively and moving around than they used to be, that it does take a bigger toll on their bodies.
But I was told.
Well, but big men need to move around more than they need, so whatever. So Adam Silver had an idea that he floated yesterday about how to improve that.
As we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of 4 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a two-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game, but I think as a television program, being 2 hours, that's Olympic basketball, is 2 hours, you know, college basketball, of course, is
40 minutes. Yeah, but if you like it, I'd say it has kind of a little bit of a push there.
Yeah, it's such a dramatic change to the game. I mean, I think something like that would have to be talked more about. And I'm probably in a minority. As we get more involved in global basketball.
And he also said they might go to they're interested in having another league in the Middle East. And
oh, yeah. Well, all of, that. Of course they do. Well, it's a lot of money in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Jack. What do you think, 10-minute quarters?
I don't like it.
No.
Nah, it's too much like college. I can understand the premise of what they're trying to do, but, you know, if you're going to do anything, and I know the owners won't do it because it's going to cost people money when you're talking about taking away games, like, right, when they say reduce the total amount of games to 68, well, the owners still look at gate prices, and they still want those ticket prices coming through there. But I got to have the NBA at 12 minutes per quarter. I mean, no offense to college basketball and no offense to women's pro basketball, but that's what they play, right? 10 minutes a quarter.
Yes. Yeah. No, well, college basketball is 2 20-minute halves.
Oh, I'm thinking of women's college basketball. They play the 10-minute quarters. But the 20-minute halves, the NBA is supposed to be different than the other leagues.
Yes.
And so keep it at the 12 minutes per quarter.
So, you know, you said the thing about the money shortening games. I think, truthfully, I've heard 62 games and 60, whatever it is. And there are some people within the NBA that are confident that if they played fewer games, the games would mean more. They'd be able to monetize them better.
Yeah.
But that is if you make that change, you got to be very confident you hit that number. Because what also the players don't want to hear is, okay, we're going to play this many fewer games, so they're not cutting the salaries.
Right.
Right? So
no, hell no, they ain't cutting salaries.
So I think it's a more realistic change than getting down to 68 games or 60 games. Selfishly, I'd much rather the games end earlier so my podcasts at night are earlier.
There it is.
You know, I wouldn't mind that. And it would throw into change all of the 30-point scoring and like what a good number is. We would have to recalibrate how many rebounds per game is the right number.
We don't want to do all that.
No. Yeah. Just let me watch the game.
Well, I wonder what they're going to do. You know, I really do. I know they're thinking about the TV thing because it's been so publicized that their ratings have not been as good. And I do think they need to do something there because as doing a basketball podcast, we did a... We had a question yesterday about, hey, who's a player in the league that isn't that good that you like, a non-Sixer? And 10 years...
Hurts question?
No. And 10 years ago, I could have come up with like 10 players that I love. Now, I only watch Sixers games. Like, I watch whoever the Sixers are playing. Yeah. So I'm less invested than in the rest of the NBA than I've ever been. So anything they could do to make it a little bit better, I would be a fan of.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
I think so, too.
Disconnected from the NBA.
Yes, I think so, too. I think so, too. All right, 215-592-9494. Nick in Collegeville. You're on WIP. What's up, Nick?
I'll see you guys at Creed next summer.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Decided.
Yeah. Yes, bro.
I mean, I was a big Creed fan back in the day, but I would have never gone to see him this time. But now I feel like I got to be there. And let me tell you something. Scott better have you guys front row. Seriously.
And he better sing with us.
Yes. He needs to sing with us. We need front row, and he needs some appreciation for what we've done for him.
Yes.
Yeah, he better put some mics on the stage for you guys. Yes. For the encore.
We just need him. All I want is him singing 5:30 Creed. That's all I want. One time.
Now, a point of order for the show.
Yes.
Before I get into my GL intake. Around week four, week five, Eagles are struggling. They went to the bye. They fixed things up. And at the same time, it coincides with Chuck being loud and proud and making his declaration on WIP that he's moving his show and his boys and minions to another show.
Right.
And then the Eagles went on an epic run. We can't a spike. I need you to back off a Chuck a little bit. Have him commit after the Super Bowl. We can't have him jump on the afternoon bandwagon and then something happens. All right? Can we just – I know what you want, and we all want that. We want that commitment from the afternoon guys.
But yeah.
We need him to – this run coincides with that, right?
Yeah, like, so he's got to essentially stay on that side until the Super Bowl's
over. That's right. Stay on that side.
Super Bowl, please.
I think that's a fair request. I will take it into consideration.
Now, this takes me to Jalen.
Yes.
Like, if Jalen outplays the Patrick, all right, just like he did the last game, except for the fumble, pick, drop six, that his minions never want to, you know, agree that meant something to the game.
Yeah.
But if he outplays Patrick and Reed this game, then I'm open to saying he's done things. Like I said, like I called earlier this week, you're going to be one of the best combinations in the league ever. I'm going to open my mind up to him being. I don't want to say the word. Elite's tough because, like you said, Eli Manning had two seasons, and that's he had nothing else. And he's going to be a Hall of Famer because he won two Super Bowls. But he stinks. We know that.
True.
You said it, Ike.
Yep.
Yeah. And Jalen had two great seasons. That 22 season was epic. And if we won that Super Bowl, it would have been epic. Now, if he comes back and redeems himself, and he's the reason why we win that game, not because Saquon runs for 225 and three TDs.
It doesn't matter.
I'm muffled. Well, if it's more of a pass, listen, if the entire team wins and Jalen does his part like last week,
yep.
I'm going to give it to him. The reason why that game was out of hand is because Jalen did his part. Saquon did his part. Everybody did his part.
Right.
But he looked like a quarterback. He looked like a quarterback.
Yep.
In the playoffs.
See, here's my argument on Eli, right? So Eli wasn't, to me, in the elite category because of who he was playing with. He was still playing Tom Brady, his brother, Big Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers. You had Russell Wilson. Who else? Is anybody else that was still playing during that time? They kept Eli out of that elite category, sort of. If I'm looking, and one thing with all those other guys, they all had Super Bowls as well.
Right.
So there's more of a legit argument to keep him out of it based on those other guys. If we're just doing it based on his contemporaries, his guys he's playing with right now in this era, he will have done more than those guys have done.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, I know the Allen argument where everybody, I know how everybody sits on that argument. Look, I agree with you, Ike. I do. But my problem is, and I hate, and I'm going to like cozy up to Jack a little bit here. Like the eye test. Like I've watched football as long as you have.
Yep.
Like I've seen quarterbacks. You've tried to defend quarterbacks. You have defended quarterbacks.
Sure.
Like you know when you see
elite on talent. Yes. Yes, I agree.
Dan Fouts. How elite was Dan Fouts?
Dan Fouts was elite.
Elite.
He
never sniffed.
Yep, I agree.
Playoff wins.
I agree. All I'm doing is asking to put the guy. All I'm doing is asking to put the guy in the category with him. I'm not taking any of those guys out of the elite category. I'm just saying Jalen joins them.
All right. I'm going to finish up with this. It's yes. dual purpose here.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper's good.
Ah, that's a great answer, Nick.
It could be a band. It could be a band from the 90s or well, the 2000s that we can say a lot
there's
now.
Salt and pepper or salt and pepper. Well, you got to pick which one.
Oh. No. I'm going salt and pepper, and then we can put our neighborhood connotation to it, and it's a dual purpose. It's got, you know,
he's saying, he's saying it's either one.
Oh, you got to.
It's a duo. It's a duo.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's I'm with you. Well done.
Is he talking about the actual salt and pepper?
Yeah, physical salt and pepper or the music group?
I think he's talking about both. He's saying
both.
It's a duo of a duo.
Ah.
So he's like salt and pepper, and salt and pepper. So it's basically two duos. It's a clever, good
That's
answer.
Pretty good answer.
It's a clever answer.
Yes. Clever answer. It is.
Very clever.
The Jalen elite conversation is going to be awesome.
Oh, bro!
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm looking up Joe Theismann. Well, that's where I've gotten to this point.
Honest with you. Whether or not a quarterback is elite is one of my favorite circular arguments of all time.
There's no real answer today.
Yeah, because the Flacco one was the last one that everybody was having. Yeah, that was like drove everyone insane.
Yeah, is Flacco elite?
This one will drive everyone insane. Specifically, this guy is telling you right now. All right, the text line is brought to you by Benari Jewelers. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose extraordinary. Choose Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square. Online at BenariJewelers.com.
Text line.
That ring will be on eBay after the game. Don't you worry. James Bradbury.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, you going to sell it?
Yeah.
He's going to sell that ring. You kidding me?
What's he need the money for? He got paid for doing nothing.
He did. Yeah. Like Scott Kingery has a 2022 pennant ring.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's Scott Kingery doing with that ring?
Yeah.
He's not looking at it proudly.
Scott Kingery's going to be playing baseball till he's like 48, isn't
he? Well, he's an Angel now, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was he in our org last year?
Yes.
He was.
Yeah, he was.
They refused to call him up.
Yeah.
Suppressing
Scott
Kingery.
Man. You get the championship ring.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you got to have it. You don't sell it.
You sell it if you're 51 and you're broke.
Right.
That's when you sell it.
Yeah.
What's next?
Great next question today. My duo is straight from the afternoon show. Ike and Ike. Brian Baldinger.
That is really funny. What's next?
Our 2024 song is Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. The Sixers training staff.
That's actually good.
That's really funny, too. It's another good one. Sixers won four in a row, by the way.
That's right.
Never a doubt.
Unreal. Think Embiid's going to play tomorrow. What's next?
Do not make me laugh. Mike Mayock.
I think Embiid was rolled out.
Oh, was he? For tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was. Well, whatever. They want to be able to sell at the deadline so bad. And if they win, there's four games before the deadline. They play Denver, they play Boston, they play Dallas and Miami.
Oh, there you go.
And if that, right, like that gives you an opportunity.
Yes. Well, they've won four straight after Morey was at Duke watching Cooper Flagg.
Like, it's funny. They played eight guys the last two games. Five of them were on league minimum contracts.
Yes.
And they won both of them.
Maxie's actually doing too much. He's playing too well.
Trying to make the All-Star team.
Yeah. Well, listen. Did the Ben Simmons run before the All-Star game?
Yeah. Oh, we always did that.
Yeah.
What's next?
Jason Kelce simply breathes. Joe to camera. Laughs like it's the funniest thing he's ever heard. Frank in Ardmore.
Oh. Does he do that? Does Joe do that?
Yeah, I think so. I think he gets a little nervous with Jason in there.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Well, it's a big
starstruck.
Spot. Yeah, it's a big spot.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little.
What?
I don't know if Joe's got a big game voice.
The guy's in here every week. How the hell are you getting nervous with Jason Kelce in here?
Well, because if I had to read the camera's mind, right? He's a dorky little radio host trying to talk shop with.
But he's in here every week.
Maybe he's shook by when Jason nervous couldn't remember a moment from the show.
Yeah, well, that was all time.
Yeah, he's shook by that.
He was.
What's next?
Did you like the way I said Melbourne? I threw some shrimps on the bobby back in my day. I'm all Vegemite now, though. Anyway, good day, mate. Spike randomly turning into Crocodile Dundee to impress a caller.
Did you change your accent?
No. So we have a lot of Australian listeners to the podcast.
Yeah.
And when I would say Melbourne, which is how it's spelled, Australian listeners would email us and say, that's not how you say it. You say it as Melbourne. That's how you say it.
Melbourne.
So,
I've always said Melbourne.
Yes, yeah. But you say Melbourne. So I'm always proud when I say it the right way.
Have you noticed that less listeners from Australia since Ben left?
No, we always had, even prior to Ben, they love the NBA in Australia.
Yeah.
And in other
Exum?
In other countries.
Is he not Australian?
No, he is.
He is.
Why Dante? Like, Patty Mills exists. Joe
Well, Patty Mills.
Patty Mills, yeah. In other countries, it's the Bulls, the Sixers, and the Lakers. And I think the Sixers became popular because of Iverson, Bulls because of Jordan, and the Lakers because of Kobe. So, yeah, we've always had a lot of Australian listeners. Fritz at six is next.
Yes.
What do you have going on, Jack?
Are they a win away from being the best team in the history of the city?
Whoa.
215.
That is heavy.
Well, I'll wait to hear the arguments for the other teams.
Yeah.
But I would say they are.
They would have a pretty strong
they
argument.
They are one away from being the best.
Especially
team.
Because who they'd be beating, too.
Yes.
There's a lot to it there.
Yep.
And then TK is after Jack. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you for listening.